Church, we have the wonderful privilege to bring you an update, which we're very excited to do, and we have a little PowerPoint presentation, and I'll ask for your forgiveness already, as Adrian's already told me the explanation of how this works, and I will do my best to make sure it does work. But good morning. Andrea and I are thrilled to be with you here this morning to share God's love for the Irish people and his heart for them to know him, grow in him, and to show him to others. It has been some time since we've actually been back. It's been 3.5 years for me. Andrea's been back a couple more times, but we're super thankful for Grace Chapel, for your different ways that you've tried to stay connected with us through our ministry in Ireland, and we praise God for the technology that we've been able to keep in touch, as well as short video updates that we can put in our newsletters, which we do from time to time, and even recording a message that we can send along. And these have been helpful in allowing us to keep folks current with our ministry in the Republic of Ireland.
So it's hard to believe, but next month, Scott will and I will be married almost 28 years. And our
It'll be official in a month.
Yes. And our home base before going to Ireland was actually in the Stirling area. And many of you know us because of that. So we have been blessed with three beautiful children who are now all young adults. And we praise God that each love Jesus. Mm-hmm. That are actively involved in serving the Lord. And it's amazing to see how God is bringing, who God is bringing into their lives to love them, to support them in life and their journey of faith. And our family is growing, which is wonderful. Our family is growing through marriage. And just love to see our son-in-law here, Luke, and the grandkids. And then also through, Garen is going to be getting married as well. So we praise God for that at the end of August. And just so thankful for all of them. And she's wonderful. Oh, I just love her.
And we have another grandchild on the way.
Yes!
That's the dangerous thing when you give me a pointer. This is fantastic. Anyways, click. All right. So we've been in Ireland since November of 2018. And many things have happened over those 5.5 years. Too many things to highlight in a brief morning share. However, our hope today is to welcome you into the work that God is doing on the west coast of Ireland and invite you to partner with us in this ministry. Ireland is classified as an unreached people group, and that is shocking to hear. But when any country with less than 2% of evangelical Christians being present is considered an unreached people group, and in Ireland still stands at less than 1.5% evangelical Christian. Okay, so this is the lowest still in the English-speaking world.
So the next is the Limerick Christian Center, which is located just outside of Limerick City in the village of Mungret. And this is where we've been based out of, serving since arriving in Ireland. The people that make up the Limerick Christian Center, or as we say, LCC for short, have been faithful serving the Lord in their community there since the 90s. This huge building was once a bustling, prestigious boarding school run by the Catholic Jesuit Order. It closed its doors in the 70s after over a century of educating local boys and servicing the ecclesiastical needs of the surrounding area. It lay derelict for 20 years, being vandalized and falling into ruin in the harsh weather. Through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, a small group of believers reached out in faith to purchase the building. By the grace of God, their purchase was secured, and the work began to raise this behemoth-sized building back to life.
And as you can see, it is big. It has been an inspiration to join with this faithful bunch of people to work alongside them, hand in hand, together serving the Lord. What's inspiring is to see how far they've come to overcome such unbelievable obstacles in not only fixing up an old crumbling building, and we're dead serious when we say it was old and crumbling, but trusting in the Lord for the finances to get it up and going and to see it keep going year in and year out. And over the past 20 years, there have been a number of ministries that have been born at LCC. Some were for a season, and others are still going and thriving today. Initially, LCC was a hub for all evangelical works that were coming together to use the facilities and to fellowship together. Most evangelical churches in Ireland could not afford their own building, and it is still true to this day. A lot of church in a box in Ireland. LCC realized how blessed they were and wanted to graciously partner with other evangelical works, encouraging and combining resources to reach children and families for Jesus.
So there's a lot of ministry that happens in the building. The first floor, you'll see after some time, Liberty Christian Church and Liberty Christian School were started. Mm-hmm. You will find these on the first floor and more. There's a lot more on that first floor.
Yep. And then after some time, a Bible bookstore was formed and an art gallery by LCC's Christian resident artist, Ann Fitzgerald, of Dear God Ministries, and a very large room that was made into a gymnasium that was also used for different ministries.
And then on the third floor, you'll find 38 beds up there. It's an accommodation. It can be used for either short-term mission teams, Christian conference events, or we're praying for a future Bible school. There are a number of ministries happening here day to day, but there's so much room for more, for God to expand these different ministries.
There is a lot of hustle and bustle daily with people coming and going from LCC, from the Mungret Park, which is just down below in front of our center, to come up to there's a private coffee shop that's rents within our building, and they come up for breakfast, coffees, teas, lunches. So literally hundreds and hundreds of people are walking through our doors daily.
Also, a lot of fellowship happens outside of the courtyard area weekly and after church on Sundays. It's also the recess area, or was the recess area for Liberty Christian School for years until they finally got the back area near the school paved. We've held church outdoor services. That was the first time this year that we had planned that. Mm-hmm. But also for the public to come up to the park to join us during the service. A coffee and tea tent was put outside along with games and in the parking lot. And we brought our Abby Taylor puppet booth so we could also do some child evangelism. One-day clubs once a week for a month was also in the fenced-in grassy area out front with loads of fun all packed into both morning and afternoon times available for children and their families. So all to hear the good news of the gospel. It was wonderful to have different people. It's the first time they'd ever seen anything like that, the people in our church. So it was wonderful to get them involved in different ways.
Mm-hmm. We desire to live under the authority of God and His Word. And as we do this, He continues to invite us into the work that He is planning and that He's doing by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and discipling believers, training and equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry and helping building a maturing church that desires to reach others for Christ.
So we praise and thank God for those who have been supporting us here in Ireland through prayer and financial giving. We couldn't make it this far without you, without each and every one of you. We also thank God for Grace Chapel and the different ways over the several years that you've helped support us financially, but also your continued prayers. Each faithful partner God has invited into this ministry, whether it be prayer or financial support, not only brings a peace of mind to us, but it brings a peace of mind to the people at LCC. They sent us with their blessing, but they said, you may make sure you come back. It's the only, you know, for the LCC, it brings peace of mind to the community also, that our neighbors and things that God has allowed us to influence and be a part of, knowing that we can continue to stay in Ireland through the Lord's strength and confidence.
Our hearts are to stay in Ireland. In fact, 2 weeks ago, we officially applied for citizenship to live and stay in Ireland long term. It was the only way for us to transition, for my Minister of Religion visa finishes in November of 2024 with no way forward. So the only way that we are able to stay in Ireland is if we become citizens of the country. And we really truly believe that God has made it clear to us that the Irish are our people. And we love them, and they love us. It is only in His strength that we have been able to buffet the many storms faced during 5.5 years. For you know, when you're working in full-time ministry, you get many strikes and you get many hits. But the Lord has been able to give us the strength to help us to buffet those storms and to continue to serve and love the Irish in Jesus' name. And Ireland is considered a missionary graveyard for numerous reasons. But we have worked tirelessly to build trusting relationships, which is very hard to earn there. However, once you've earned it, hearts become open to receive the good news of Jesus Christ, and we praise God for sustaining us thus far.
Amen. God is always on the move, all over the world. He continues to invite us into the work that he is doing to save and to transform hearts and lives. As missionaries to Ireland, we too have been invited into what the Lord is doing, and prayerfully looking to find different partners, strategic partners and supporters, whether it be in churches or in individual families, who will come alongside this ministry and support us on the field. We've come home on a mini home assignment for this purpose, and at this time we need to raise financial support for us to stay in Ireland. By the end of May, we need to raise 11% of our monthly budget to stay in Ireland, and also raise monies for our work funds, which can come from one-time gifts.
So we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful to share, but the Lord is the one who stirs in the hearts of individuals to help serve and help and partner with us to minister to the Irish people. And if you would like to know more about how you can support us in Ireland and help us with our ministry needs, you'll notice when you came in the door, there are some prayer cards which out there that have all our details. And you also can see that there is a sheet, like a cheat sheet, that basically gives all the different things that help us to understand what the current needs are with in Ireland. And we also have a sign-up sheet that if you want to fill out your name and your email address to get our monthly newsletters. And we certainly want to thank John and Chris for being faithful to print our prayer letters to bring them in. But if you would like to get them yourself, just put your name and your email, but make it clear, or else somebody in New Jersey is going to get that prayer card or the newsletter and wonder who we are. So, anyways.
Which actually might be a good thing.
You know yourself, it can get kind of, you know, is that an E or a C? So if you could just print clear, that would be great. And you're certainly, there it is there. So you're very welcome to visit us after the service. If you have any questions, we'd love to have the crack with you and get to know you better. And thank you for letting us to share this morning. And may the Lord bless you. And come on, here we
go. Are you going to say it?
And thank you. Go to my agat.
There you go.
Thank you in Irish. All right. That's great. Thank you so much.
We were trying to practice it last night. How do you say this?
Wasn't cluing in that was interlude music for me. I'm sitting down going, Michael's playing beautifully. And Michael would continue to play beautifully. Oh boy. Yeah. Just relax. It'll all come together. Let's start over. Good morning again, church. Very welcome. You're very, very welcome. And thank you certainly to our family and friends who have made the trek here today to support Andrea and I, and good friends, faithful friends, supporting friends, prayer warriors, and just dear ones. And we're so thankful for you, because we couldn't do what we do without you. Sometimes you think that what little you have to give, or what little you have to offer, or even in the handshakes, the hugs, the encouragements, I tell you what, you need those. You need them yourself. But certainly when you're sticking your neck out and you're trying to go serve overseas, you need every touch. And don't ever think for a moment that what you do is insignificant. And not only for us, but for any missionary or any other person you support in any way, shape, or form. All right? God uses you. And don't ever look at a missionary and go, oh, sure, they're really, oh, they're elevated and they're something else. No, we're just regular Joe Soaps like you. All right? We just have a different calling. And we're being obedient to that calling. That's what we shared with you this morning. But just as we have a calling, so do you. And we all have a part to play in the kingdom work that God has before us. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. Proverbs chapter 3. All right. I want to back up and talk a little bit about that word trust, if I may. The word trust. One of the things that, if you remember in our share, that we said that it is very difficult to earn the trust of those that we serve in the country that we serve in. That's what we've observed. That's what we've experienced. That's what we were told, but now we've lived it. Okay? So we're not making something up. We're not sort of hyper-sensationalizing in anything, or are we picking on any national group? All right? The reality is that where we serve and the people that we serve with is very, very difficult to earn their trust. And when you live in a country like Ireland, and you begin to understand and begin to learn more of the history, not in textbooks, but in reality, face-to-face relationships, listening with your ears. Now, you might say, well, of course, you do listen with your ears. Why wouldn't you listen with your ears? But it's amazing how often that we listen to respond, but we don't listen to understand. We listen to respond, but we don't listen to understand. And that's something that we've had to learn to do the 5.5 years where we've been, is not to listen just to give a response, but to listen to understand so that we know how to love and encourage and build relationships, lasting relationships. You know, we live in a time where we have 600 friends on Facebook, and I've got 1,000 followers on Instagram, and I'll leave it there because I don't know what else is trendy. It'll show my age. But all these social media apps and everything, we love to be followed. We somehow get those strokes that we somehow were well-liked. But the reality is that you only get out what you put in. And if you're not willing to put in and do the hard work and to build relationships, then you will get exactly what you put in. And if you put in nothing, guess what you get? But if you put in time and effort, it's rich, it's beautiful. So trust is something that must be built. Trust must be something that you have to work tirelessly to get. Because if you're going to move from listening to understand, but then listen to respond, because there does come a point where you must respond. We can't always be in a state of understanding. There has to be a point where we transition from just understanding to now to respond. And that is something that we're trying very hard to discover and to figure out as we serve at LCC in Limerick. The church where we serve in is an uncharacteristically 90% Irish. Now you might say, well, duh. Do you know what country you live in? But the majority of the evangelical works that are in Ireland may only have 10% Irish. 15% Irish. There's a very popular, well-organized church, evangelical church, in the city of Limerick called Abundant Life, and they have over 50 nationalities in their church. It's a thriving, bustling ministry. However, the vast majority of all that attend there, and they broke the 500 mark a couple weeks ago before we left, which was phenomenal. But of those 500, how many are locals? Missionary graveyard. Why? Because it takes a long time to build trust. And if you're not willing to go the long haul, ministry dries up and you just go away. Because we come in with a very North American mindset because we're from North America. We come in and we think, well, certainly programs and certainly this material or this style, this is really going to shake things up. This is really going to make a difference. But the reality is how many have come into their country to change their ways? How many have come in to steal their land, to steal their food, to steal their culture, to steal the pride of who they are as a people? We don't realize how blessed we are to be from Canada. A melting pot of people. But who's come in to steal your identity? Who's come in to steal your land? Who's come in to steal your food? We're a young country that's very blessed. Yes, we have our issues. We won't talk about government. I'm already breaking the rules. I'm talking about religion. But here we go. When you live in a land that is so free, and then you serve in a land that is free, but has suffered under the hand of oppression, and you have someone sitting at your kitchen table having the crack and having a cuppa and having the conversations, and them talking about a guy that was going around and being very forceful in the way they shared their faith, kind of walking up and saying, "Wally, you need Jesus. You better get Jesus in your life right now, Wally. Get him in there." It was a very bold man. And my friend Joe. And Joe's a lovely man. You would love him. He's a dear man. So thankful for his salvation. So thankful that God saved him from one, not just a life of anti-religion, but from alcoholism. He was a dead man walking. But now he's a man that walks with a glow. Because he loves Jesus, and he doesn't back down. But he says to me, "What's that man has? What right does he have to tell me that?" He says, "We were indentured for 700 years. Don't you dare tell me what I need to do." That's the sentiment. Don't you dare tell me what to do. We were indentured for 700 years. You have no right to tell me what to do. And that's very true to this day. And some don't even understand why they respond the way they do. Trust. Trust is important. If you aren't willing to build trust, if you're not willing to do the hard things, if you're not willing to sit and be quiet. Now you might say, "Oh, sure, I can be quiet." But how long does it take before you have to feel the need to say something? How easy is it to sit in a conversation and yet say nothing? Now you may say, "Well, I'm not a type of chatty person." But be intentional to not say something. It's very difficult. Because you're listening to heartbreak after heartbreak. Whether family drama and trauma. We live in an area where it's one of the highest suicide rates on the island in Limerick. Every single person has been affected by suicide. Every single one. I can almost bank that. It's like I would ask each and every one of you, how many of you know who died of suicide? How many of you know have died of suicide? How many of you would know have died of suicide? And it would be family members, distant family members, friends, co-workers. How many times we get messages on our prayer app for the church praying for a family who's, like just recently I had one 19-year-old girl hung herself on the clothesline. Just finished a major presentation in school, getting ready to go off to uni. Lovely girl. Her father and mother just went on a vacation, hadn't gone on a vacation in like decades, went on a vacation, she took her life. And that's what they have to come home to. And that is not a rarity. It is so common, it breaks your heart. No hope. Because just as I'm talking about building a trust in a relationship with individuals, these individuals haven't built a trust in Jesus Christ. Because their hope meter is practically zero. Are they resilient? Oh yes, 100%. Have they fought over the centuries? Oh, 100%. Have they persevered persecution, having their culture stolen, their games stolen, at times their religion at that time was stolen? Oh, yes. They have. But to have this trust in a Savior, to actually be able to build a trust in a Savior, that is something that they have not yet made, that move. Because their religion is an action, but it's not a relationship. Their religion is a set of rules, a set of formalities, a set of things you just do. The lads I hang out with, they would talk about, you know, he's a good priest. You're in and out in 25 minutes. No pressure next week, Gary. 25 minutes, you're in and out of church. The whole deal, including communion, the sacrament. So what they've done is they've fallen into a ritual. They're free from that oppression, but they fell back into something that they thought was going, that they fought so hard to get back. But what they fought so hard to get back is they're trusting in a religion that brings them no hope. Because if the hope was high in Ireland, why are so many jumping off the bridges in Limerick? Why are so many hanging themselves in their garage? Why are so many just driving their cars into a wall? Trust. Who do they trust in? So this morning, I'm going to share a verse that's very common, and many of you will have known it, many of you will have memorized it, and I was a little hesitant, but as I was preparing this message in Ireland, and I was wrestling, and you can ask my wife, Andrea, I was wrestling with what passage I was going to preach on here, and it was a beautiful thing, and I says, finally the Lord brought it to me. I was doing my devotions, and I'm in Proverbs, and when I read the verse, and I know this verse because it's one of my favorite verses, but all preachers say that we all have favorite verses. It's really the whole Bible. But anyways, we have favorite verses. But when I landed on it, it was like, all of a sudden, it was like the Lord was like, bang, that's it. Because how do I help you make a connection with where we serve in a short period of time? That would be a lasting memory for you as we stay here, but then go back in the name of Jesus with your prayer and your support. And I said to Andrea, I says, I found the passage, but I'm not going to tell you. Right? I'm not going to tell you. And then we did a presentation for our board at the LCC Center before we left. And they gave us their blessing to come and want us back, but they allowed us to come here. And the very last verse that Andrea put on the PowerPoint presentation was the exact same verse that I had picked to preach. That's God. Did I get an amen? Don't fall asleep on me. Amen. So this is the passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Very, very well-known passage, but one that just beautifully illustrates the need that we have for trust and the results. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, reading the scripture says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths or make your path straight. Now that sounds simple enough, doesn't it? Oh yeah, we probably have kids' songs about it, VBS songs about it. I'm sure Michael probably has one in his back pocket. He's nodding his head. We could get that going later. We might break out into song, right? As the Spirit leads, of course. But we have a situation where when we're looking at this verse, and when I read it, it was exactly that word trust literally leapt off the page. They don't call Scripture the living Word of God for no reason. It's active, isn't it? You know yourself, when you're getting into the Word of God and you're reading it, and all of a sudden you've been reading a verse you've read your whole life, and all of a sudden one morning you wake up, you read it, and bang, it smacks you right between the eyes. It's the living Word of God, living and active. Okay? And that is what it did for me, because this is something that we have struggled with, is trust. Building trust with where we work, building trust in relationships, building trust with our neighbors, building trust with everyone that we come into contact with. But certainly as those in Ireland have been working away and coming along, and as we see generation after generation after the British left, and they left the country, and things were a mess, but they started to bring everything back together and put all the pieces back together, and they were allowed to worship freely to get back into the religion of Catholicism, and they went in it with 2 feet. And there was still somewhat of a moral vibe going on in Ireland, a moral vibe that said, there's right, there's wrong. All right? There was still that sense of, you know, there's order, there's structure. They were very faithful to go to Mass. But there was still a lot of missing pieces that really would bring them into that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They were trusting in God and they knew about Jesus, but they weren't making the connections. But as time went on, we began to see that because when you try to follow religion but you don't have a relationship, the next generation comes along and they started thinking, wait, why am I doing this? Why am I going to Mass? Because Mom and Dad go to Mass. And then we leave Mass and we come home and it's just like nothing's changed. And then we go back and we do this again and we come back home and nothing's changed. Right? We do some ritualistic things. We have to go to confession. We have to do these things. But all of a sudden it's just like, it just seems like an awful lot of work. And then that generation still goes, but they're not quite as faithful. And then the next generation comes along. And all of a sudden they're like, wait a minute. My mom and dad didn't go a whole lot, but they went. But then now they're not going as much, but there's no change. And it seems like everything in society is chaotic. My friend died. They overdosed. They disappeared. And so as time went on, and what we see in Ireland today is that they sold themselves to an ideology of self. It's all about me. It's no longer about a religion. It's all about me. And because it's all about them, when you bring into the conversation a need for God and Jesus Christ, it's just like, didn't work before. How's it going to work now? And how hard is it to tell them, well, it's because your ancestors didn't meet the one who truly loved them. Because I promise you this, when you go to a Catholic funeral, everybody gets to heaven. I've been to a number of them. And I've even known some of the characters that have died. And that priest makes them out to be saints, regardless of what you knew about them. But everybody accepts it because that's their lot in life. That's what's to be expected. That's what's going to happen to everybody. Surely we're going to be okay. Surely we've got enough good in us. But it's not the good in us, is it? It's who's good? It's the Lord's good. It's Jesus' good. And so when you look at this verse, when we're thinking about this whole idea of trust, and you know that the Irish have sort of sold themselves to this idea of this ideology of self, all we need is ourselves, all we need is our own moral works or our humanistic works. We no longer need to worry about church. Catholic churches are closing down. Mass is practically empty. The only time you see them is during holiday time, and everybody shows up at a funeral. Because I promise you this, the Irish do death well. Okay? They do death well. They love and support each other in ways that would shame us, how they reach out to one another. They are beautiful. It's just their willingness to give and love is unprecedented, and it's amazing. But again, it's just what they've fallen into. But they're still missing that most important piece, and that's Jesus. So when we look at this first verse, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Ask yourself, what do you fully trust in? What do you fully trust in? Because all of us have trust issues, I promise you that. We all have trust issues. We've been let down, we've been disappointed, someone didn't show up when they were supposed to, I didn't get a call, I didn't get paid, you broke my heart, you looked at a different girl, you looked at a different guy, you didn't like me after my post, and I wanted you to like it. You didn't friend me. You know, it's a drama. But we all have trust issues. But Solomon gives us a very important right out of the gate. It's trust in the Lord. It's not just a something, it's a someone. And that someone is the God of the universe who wants to connect with you and me. And we know he does as we read through Scripture through his Son, who? Jesus Christ. Who we celebrated this morning at the breaking of bread and sang songs and heard scriptures that reminded us again of who we serve and love, because he first loved us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's who we need to know. And that's who we need to introduce to those that we serve in Ireland. And this idea that trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Ah, there it is. He says, I takes after his father. He's a bright spark. It's to trust in the Lord with all your heart. All. And one of the things we learn in Scripture is all's all that all means. All's all that all means. So when they say all in Scripture, what does it mean?
All.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Ah, yes. All's all that all means. And so when it says to trust in the Lord with all your heart, that means that God wants every single part of you and me, all of you. And that is difficult because we are human beings and we have trust issues. We bring those trust issues in our relationship with the Lord. And suddenly our relationship with the Lord, we have trust issues. Because my parents let me down. My friends let me down. My coworkers let me down. My sports team left me down. Anyways, we won't talk about that. But so many things have been letting us down. So then suddenly we take all those things that we're humanly speaking and we bring it into a relationship with the Lord. And surely God can't have all of me. Surely God can't keep me afloat. Surely God can't heal me. Surely God can't provide for me. Surely God can't make me move into a different state of mind. God can't possibly do that. Why? Because all my human relationships and all my situational relationships are flawed. Therefore, God must be flawed. You see how quick it is? It's easy. But that's not what he says in Scripture. Because he doesn't just leave it there. He doesn't say, just trust the Lord with all your heart. End of story. Full stop, as they say in Ireland. Full stop. He goes on to say something more. So here's that picture of, this is what we're trying to, the picture that we're trying to produce where we serve. It's not just trusting in a something, it's a someone. And that someone is God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is who we have to focus in on. This is the one that we need to love. This is the one that we need to have our eyes upon. Because if we do, if we trust the Lord with all our heart, and then there's another thing we have to do. Oh, sure, God, I'm exhausted. As they say, our friends say, I'm wrecked. I'm wrecked. It's a common phrase we hear our friends say, oh, I'm wrecked. So, not only is it the trust issue that we have to work on, and learning what trust means, and learning how to put your faith in something, because trust takes a step or a leap of faith to put your trust in something. It is. It's like, and I always love this image, and those who've had children or who are in the past, and we've got grandchildren, and so when they when they jump, what do they expect, Luke? Yeah, to be caught. And the joy on their faces when they are, it's sheer exhilaration to see their little faces light up because you caught them, all right? And again, I remind people, that's the heart of God. He wants you to jump, but you have to trust that His arms are strong enough to catch you. And not just once, but twice and three times. Because look, we all make mistakes. I do. I make horrible mistakes. But He's willing to forgive and He's willing to catch me. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Some of your heart or all your heart? All's all that means all. And then He says, and lean not on your own understanding. Matthew, please come up to the stage. Oh, you're dead right. I didn't tell you this before. And that's the joy of the preacher not telling. Because when you're on the hook, everyone's going to turn around and go, is he going to go up? What's going to happen? It's like me sitting in the seat wondering why Michael's still playing the piano. Now, we're going to do a trust exercise. No. Not you, me.
You're falling back?
I'm not going to tell you right away, but are you strong enough? Can you do it?
I think so.
He just sized me up, by the way. Did you see his eyes?
Ireland has been good to Scott. Just kidding.
I feel a little embarrassed all of a sudden. Okay, so when we look at this word, to lean not on your own understanding. If I come in at you, see, whoa, what happened there? What happened?
I wasn't prepared.
Well, you weren't prepared. I gave you a little bit of warning. But what happened when I fell forward? What was I able to do? What was I able to do? I put my hands out. I was able to catch myself, wasn't I? I was. Now.
I'm ready.
Now.
There he is.
There he is. I feel like Sigmund and Freud there all of a sudden. It's like, thank you, Matthew. You did very well. Everybody give Matthew a hand. Checks in the mail. Okay. So the idea with that is that when the scripture says to lean not on your own understanding, sometimes we think we're still leaning on God because we are leaning on him. All right? And when I was, even if Matthew was able to catch me and he was very alert, and I was a little bit less weight, he could have caught me, but my hands are still going forward, right? Because that's plan B. Plan B. We're so willing to say, oh, do you trust in God? Oh, absolutely. Do you lean on him? Amen. Amen. I trust in the Lord. Right? Right? Because you're prepared, because we have trust issues. But we'll say we get through that, but then we have to go to the next phase, which is, but am I willing to trust him wholly? Because if you always have a plan B, you're not fully trusting in the Lord. You have to, it's like when he says to lean not on your own understanding, we are all smart people, okay? I'm going to carte blanche that. You're all blessed today. We're all smart people. And we're all, in our own ways, problem solvers. Even a child is a problem solver. You just try to lock them in a room, you try to put them behind a gate, and next thing you know, they're crawling over the gate, they've gone around, they figured it out. My niece would unscrew her crib. She had fingers of steel. I still don't know how she did it. But we have ways and means. But when we know that, we're sort of taught that, you know, when you're saving, you should have a plan B, and you're doing this, you should have a plan B. Well, this education thing doesn't work out, you should have a plan B. If this job doesn't work out, you should have a plan B. And that's pretty much how we're taught all the way through life. But when you look at Scripture, God is all in through Jesus. That's plan A. Well, if the Jesus thing doesn't work out, I'm sure we'll figure something out. I haven't found that in Scripture yet. Jesus is everything. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by him. He's our everything. So when it talks about lean not on your understanding, it literally is that leaning so faithfully that if Matthew even hiccuped or moves, I've got nothing to catch myself. Now, I would have gone the extra mile and did this, but maybe I didn't. But the fact of the matter is that that's the way the Lord wants us to lean upon him. Not in your own understanding. Okay? Yes, we have to use our minds, and God has given us beautiful brains, but he gave us beautiful minds and beautiful brains to get into his scripture, to read his word, to understand his word, so that we know how to live. So we know how that we need to live. And that's something we so desperately are trying to teach our friends as we get opportunities to preach, as we get opportunities to disciple, is pointing them to the scriptures to remind them it's not a religion that saves you. It's not works that saves you. It's Jesus. Jesus saves you. He wants you to lean completely on him. Not that if I just do enough good things, the scale is going to tip in my favor. It's all or nothing. Because that's what Jesus did for us. It was all. Because if we don't have Jesus, we have nothing. And that's the beautiful thing about this scripture for me and about where we live and where we serve. To trust in the Lord with all our hearts and to lean not on our own understandings. But then in all your ways, where have we seen that all before? Right? It's like he's really trying to hit this home. He says, in all your ways. What are your ways? What are ways? Tell me, ways. We read it in Scripture, so it must mean something. Okay, finances, what else? What are our ways? Finances?
Marriage.
Health.
Abilities.
I feel like an auction. You're not all sold yet. Anything. Okay, we'll just go that way. And thank you for those who are brave enough to participate. But all your ways, that means everything about you. because it's an all-in relationship with the Lord. If we trust in Him with all our hearts and we lean on our own understandings and in all our ways we acknowledge Him, as which we give God everything. You give Him your relationships. You give Him your finances. You give Him everything. Excuse me. It's kind of like when you live the missionary life, you live a very exposed life. Because we expose everything. We share our finances, where we are financially, where we are doing. I'm not asking any of you to do this morning, but would you like to have your percentage of what you need to survive on the screen? Would you like to put your percentage up there of what you need? It's a by faith journey that we take. But we joyfully do that because we've given God everything. And we live by faith. And that's not to build ourselves up or to puff ourselves up, but that's just the reality. It's like a life lesson. And as being going from the pastorate into the missionary world, yeah, you go from the glass house to the glass house who reveals all your finances. So it's kind of like this journey where you're very exposed, but you know there's a beauty in that because you hide nothing. You give it all away. You lay it all on the line. Why? Because we want to live and serve Jesus. We want to live and serve God wherever He wants us to go. And He called us to Ireland. So we have to give Him all our ways. But it's one of those things that we have to work and discipline ourselves, because just like we have trust issues, we have ways issues, because again, there are certain things we don't want to give God. We don't want to give Him all our ways. But I want my habit. I want my hobby. I want my video game. I want my cell phone. I want my videos. I want my YouTube. I want my pornography. I want my addiction. I want my drugs. I want my relationships. I want sex. I want these things. I want these things because I deserve them. And then after that little tirade, you begin to go back and record it. Go back and listen to it again and listen to all the words. I want. Because then it becomes all about us. Instead, if you turn all those eyes to You, Lord, I give You my finances. Lord, I give You my addiction. I give You my pornography. I give You my YouTube. I give You my relationships. I give You my addiction to sex. I give You, and all of a sudden, it changes the perspective, doesn't it? Because you're giving it back to the One who loves you the most, who can help you and manage you and help you get through these things, because one, you trust in Him, two, you lean not on your own understanding, and you acknowledge Him in all your ways, because here's the beautiful part, when you do those things, He will make your paths straight or level. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going on a journey, I like the quickest way possible. Just me. I like a straight road. That doesn't exist in the land we live. It's always funny when we get on the motorway, it's like, woohoo, straight. Because all the roads in Ireland, and if you've traveled to Ireland, and I know my brother-in-law and his sister, my sister-in-law have, her family's from there, they know. And they do it at 100 kilometers an hour. So, but the thing here is that when you do all of those things, He will make your path straight. And you know, I love that verse in Matthew 7:13. I'm just going to look it up real quick. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." How many are on the broad path? Because when you find the narrow path, some people say, "Ah, sure, but you're narrow-minded and you don't think right. You think in like you got blinders on." I'm like, "I got blinders for Jesus, amen." Because I know exactly where I'm going. But along that journey, He helps me to find people who are on the broad path to bring them onto the narrow path. Why? Because they need Jesus. And by showing us through these things and trust and leaning and acknowledging all our ways and knowing that He is the One that makes our path straight, the blessings that comes from it. And Andrea made this comment. The Lord had just burdened her heart this morning. She'd been up since 5. It's 10 a.m. Irish time. But anyways, we're still kind of getting adjusted to the time zone. And she was just laboring over this whole concept of generational blessings, in the sense of that when we think about our own lives, here this morning is 4 generations of believers in my family. 4 generations. But when we go to Ireland and we sit and we look out in our audience, we look out to see our church at LCC this morning, I would look out, first generation, 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 first generation believers. All first generation. The only second generation believers we have in our church are children. Many of those who have given their life to Christ, who have counted the cost to walk away from Catholicism and to follow Jesus, have multiple unsaved loved ones. And they don't know how to reproduce. They don't know that next step. They're so thankful for their salvation, but they struggle to know what steps do I, how do I reach my family? What do I do? Because they have nothing to fall back on. Think of your heritage this morning. If you have multiple generations of believers in your life, do you know how blessed you are? But yet we still walk around with our heads low, thinking that life sucks and is not good and I don't have this and I don't have that. But you have multiple generations of believers possibly behind you. Or if you're not, maybe you're a first generation believer, but you can come to a church that has multiple generations of believers that you can press into and talk to and ask, what do I do? How do I do this? How do I reach my children? How do I reach my cousins? How do I reach my aunts and uncles and great aunts and great uncles? How do I do that? And you can share. But we don't have that luxury. But we believe in a God that can change all of that. Amen? Because when we look at this, we know the hope that comes when we trust and lean and acknowledge Him in all our ways, that He'll make our path straight. And friends, that's our hope as we serve in Ireland. That as the Lord has made our path straight, that we share that hope with them, that they would see and believe and trust and lean and acknowledge and reach their own for Christ. Amen? Father, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for the simplicity of it. Lord, thank you for the attentiveness of each person here. Thank you, Lord, for how you've burdened our hearts for ministry, Lord, and just that, God, that you would use a sinner like me, Lord, to even preach the word or even go and serve in this beautiful country. Lord, we love, love Ireland. It is not easy to live there. It has been very hard. But the relationships that we do have, Father, are blessed and been handpicked by you. And I pray, Lord, for every person here, Lord, that they would just partner with us in prayer. Lord, that they would just get behind us, Lord, and pray us through. Pray believing that he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. And that, Lord, there will be more and more and more come to Christ in Ireland. Not because of our fancy words, not because of our slick tongues, but just people who want to live scripturally, who want to believe that what these words say is true, that we can stake our life on these words, and that our hope of eternity is because of what you've done for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.